Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. And joining me in studio right now is a candidate for the Houghton County Sheriff, Derek Poyhonen. Derek, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Rick.
It's our first chance to sit down and talk a little bit, get to know you some. Why don't you go ahead and start? Where do you live?
I currently reside in Dollar Bay. Grew up in Houghton. Moved out of the area for a couple of years in the early 90s and came back. And we reside in Dollar Bay now with my wife, Teresa. And we have a daughter, Bailey, and a son, Braden.
Right. And what do you do for a living?
I am a corrections officer at the Houghton County Sheriff's Department.
Okay, so you work up at the jail?
I do.
All right.
Jail and the work camp.
Okay. What kind of duties do you do?
Everything pretty much day to day. I was work crew supervisor for a few years. That's taking the vans out on the road, doing community service work. We do everything from intake to releases, distribute medication, do transports. Lead the inmates over to the court for their proceedings, and just basically all in all, run the daily jail.
Can you talk about your background? Have you been in corrections your whole career?
I've been with the department for 15 years. I did 1 year at the Q&I Youth Academy previous to that, and just carpentry and electric work before that.
And your education was where at?
Houghton High School graduate and Gogeba Community College for corrections.
Okay. What about what intrigues you or makes you have a desire to run for sheriff?
I've been actively thinking about this for 6 or 7 years. I guess initially, you know, the drug problem we have up here, you saw it coming in. When I was in Tennessee in the early 90s, it was really prevalent. And I always said we were probably about 10 years behind the times of the bigger cities for all the negativity to come to our area. It's been here, it is here, and we need to get rid of it.
Being in the jail, do you get you have a kind of a unique opportunity, I would imagine. You hear and speak to inmates there quite often.
On a daily basis, yes.
What are you hearing from them about our drug problem? And they're the ones perpetrating it.
Yeah, you know, it's prevalent, it's a shame. There's good kids that are on this stuff. And I guess one glaring one that comes out, I won't name any names, but you know, there's some people that just, as soon as they hit the streets, they can be in the jail for 60, 90 days, up to a year. The first thing they're going to do when they get out is get back on it. And it's sad. It really is.
Now you're talking about those that are heavily addicted to it. They're the buyers, the consumers.
Right. The consumers, and there's, you know, the sellers, whatever, what have you. You know, they come in, like I said, for the 60, 90 days, up to a year. They are clean. And that's the first thing they think about when they get back out is getting back on it.
We have been seeing a number of out-of-the-area people in town who are pushing the material, bringing it in here, setting up shop, so to speak. Do you get a chance to speak with them at all, or do they even bother opening up as far as why they're targeting the area?
We kind of know why they're targeting the area. They can make more money up here than they can, say, per se, downstate. We've had them from lower Michigan, from Wisconsin, all the way, I think, from Georgia. So it's here. We don't really converse too much with those guys. They're pretty quiet.
I imagine. They're tight-lipped.
Yeah, right. But I think those are the guys, you know, the recruiters up here are the ones that we have to pay attention to. Yeah. I think we do have a treatment court program that is doing pretty good right now. But we have to, you know, it's kind of a multi-prong approach. We have to have strong prosecution for these guys that come from out of state, out of the area, that have no ties to this area. We need to make it as hard as we can for them to come up and do business.
Now, the Sheriff's Department deals with limited resources. We've covered that on this program before. Besides putting more bodies on the streets, how would you go about curbing the drug problem?
My big key is going to be education. I want to get in the school systems, probably grades 2 through 6, get a junior deputy program going, a nice comprehensive one. My initial goal would be 100 kids. I'm sure we could do that. I do have a couple people on board that work right now with the treatment court, probation, and they're all for it. They're obviously going to be more knowledgeable than I am. And any help we can get from the community with people that are knowledgeable and we can get into the schools, I want to get a relationship going with the grades 2 through 6. I think kindergarten and first, let them get adjusted to school. You know, we can do in, there's called like a rent-a-cop program. We can get in, and I have many friends that are in law enforcement, corrections. They hunt, they fish. You know, we've got the trail systems up here. But get as many kids involved, build a trust with the kids again, build a relationship, and that will hopefully carry on you know, through junior high, high school.
Let's talk a little bit about that. I'm not familiar with the junior deputy program. What would be that? What would that be?
Just get the kids signed up. We can get into the schools. We can do little outings, whatever. I mean, we have trail systems up here. Get in, clean up the trails, clean up the beaches, have a little get-together for the kids, have them come into the office just to build a relationship with them. We can go into the schools and read books, whatever.
When my son was in high school, he was part of the Explorers program. It was downstate, and it sounds quite a bit similar. It's almost like you're a junior intern for the police department. This was through the probably was the Michigan State Police. I'm not exactly sure, but you'd attend meetings. They had ranks and everything, and,
sure.
and was learning. His idea at the time was to eventually become an officer, and he joined the Army instead, and is a full time Army. So I'm proud of him
Absolutely.
For doing that. That certainly would bring some more awareness to some of the problems in younger age, and I assume that's one of your goals.
It is, and hopefully we can carry that over, like I said, in the 7th, 8th grade years, end up getting to schools, just drug, alcohol awareness as they advance, in age, and get in and do some programs in every local school. Make it a little bit hard-hitting, but age-appropriate, of course, just on the dangers of all the stuff that's in the area now, and just key on getting them not to try it that first time.
From a law enforcement standpoint, when I say sort of the bread and butter, the tracking down criminals and arresting them in the drug trade, is there anything that can be done differently that you might want to apply resources to?
I think the education, you might not see results right away, but I think it will show results. We do have upset in the area right now, and I guess I'm glad they're here, but I'm kind of disappointed that they're here too. That means we haven't done enough. Over the last 10, 15 years to keep this stuff out of the area. And I know, talking to law enforcement in the area, our deputies, there's a frustration. They go out, they get these guys, and it's another prong of the approach. We have to have strong prosecution. There's a small number of people in this community that are causing the major problems. And I think if we can prosecute, if the treatment court doesn't help, if these other programs we have doesn't help, and like you mentioned before, the players that are coming from out of state and just peddling this stuff with no ties to the community, we need to hammer these people.
Derek, being a corrections officer as opposed to a sheriff's deputy, do you feel that that gives you an advantage or disadvantage when it comes to trying to run for sheriff?
I think it's an advantage. The main goal of a sheriff's department is to run and operate a safe, secure jail. We do that. Corrections officers do that. That's our job. So, the bookkeeping and the inner runnings of the jail, we don't do that, obviously, but, keep it under budget or within budget, personnel policy, that stuff should come pretty easy.
Right. So as a corrections officer and you're working at the jail, are you seeing things that you can see as opportunities that, the sheriff's department could improve on if you were a sheriff?
There's been a frustration, I know, with the corrections officers at the jail. We've watched the last 3 or 4 years, the remodeling of the offices, the kitchen now. It's expenses that probably weren't needed. The true problems of the jail are in the back. It's dangerous to work there. It's an outdated, antiquated jail. Everybody knows that. I'm sure they're aware of that. The voters have spoken. They don't want a new jail. We're not going to get a new jail. I will not push for a new jail. So my main goal, I guess, is to reduce the jail population over the years and work with what we have.
You said it's dangerous. Is it dangerous for the people working there or the inmates or both?
Everybody involved. We have limited resources to where we can put certain inmates. The demographic is changing. That will be ever-changing. So we are probably, I'd say on a daily basis, shuffling inmates from cell to cell. We have two larger cells, 6-man cells. There are many times we have 7 or 8 people in there. They're not going to all get along. But our main job as a jail is to keep these guys safe. I know it doesn't sound sexy, but that is our first and foremost job.
Well, what are some of the things that you do exceptionally well over there at the jail?
I think working with what we have, we have a limited staff. It used to be up until about 13, 14 years ago, we had one corrections officer on staff per shift. And I actually led the charge to come down probably about 14 years ago. We do have our minimum security work camp up by the airport. And the corrections officer would stay up there during the day with a trustee, clean the building daily while the work vans went out. We did it for about a year, and I just thought to myself one day, what are we doing? I'm up here with one guy, and actually the trustee at that time was out on the van, so I was guarding the building by myself. So I got in my personal vehicle, and I went down to the jail to help out the CO on duty there, and it's been that way ever since. So I guess from a proactive standpoint, you know, we doubled our workforce, and there are days where we need more than two back there. There are some days that you don't need, you know, two, but those are few and far between, and it's to the point you almost feel guilty if you're sitting for 5 minutes with nothing to do. So,
how did it hit you personally when some of the high-profile cases of, have people that walk away from work camps and the Sadio situation, not to rehash that whole thing, but just someone that works in the jail, how did that hit the staff at the jail?
It's embarrassing. It really is. We've had some walkaways from the work camp. There's been a couple that shouldn't have been up there. You need to classify it as a minimum security facility. We need to do a better job of who we're sending up there as far as public safety goes. The Sadio case, I was actually supposed to be working that day. I had taken a vacation day for the weekend. And it wasn't good. I know the corrections are officer on duty. Realized the problem at the courthouse. He called for help, and he basically did not get the help. So, I mean, it's frustrating from that standpoint. He was a good corrections officer. He is a good corrections officer. I guess the most disheartening thing about that was every agency in the area had people out looking for this guy, and my opponent was in the Bridgefest parade. And that, I guess I was ashamed, you know.
Is that one of the things that drives you right now this year to, you know, try to make changes yourself?
Yes, that's obviously one of the key points. I guess the motivating factor for me, you know, I could have waited to run. I didn't want to step on Brian's toes. But we had, I'm sure you might be aware, in 2007, we had a deputy that was forced to resign. He was facing two or three life sentences for the crimes he committed. I don't know if the public knows this, but he was rehired in 2014, and that pretty much made the decision for me. So
I'm not aware of the situation.
Yeah. He some pretty serious offenses, and I guess if you rehire it, you condone the attitude or the behavior. I never have condoned it. I never will. So
we talked about drugs in the area. Let's talk about violence. We're seeing an uprise in violent crimes, at least from my standpoint of somebody that reports on this. I've been in town for about 5 years, and it just seemed, even in that short period of time, every now and then there would be something big that would happen a couple of times a year. But, you know, it just seems that, you know, we've gone through a stretch here where we're seeing more violence. Perhaps it's tied directly into the drugs. Your thoughts?
A large percentage of it is. I don't know the numbers offhand, but we have the meth, we have the heroin, we have the synthetic drugs. And the synthetics are probably the worst ones out of all of them. The guys don't know what they're doing. Like I said, if you can get one half of 1% of this population that's doing the bad stuff, they're probably committing, the majority of the crimes. They are getting more violent. They want their stuff. They're going to get it somehow. And that doesn't, they're not just out stealing people and they're breaking into houses. They are committing the more violent crimes. And that's where we need to concentrate on getting these players, either into some kind of treatment or out of the area in the state system.
People that have lived here for a long time, yourself probably included, though you would have a much different perspective than most residents, but, I'm amazed to have moved to a place where there actually were people that keep their car keys up in the visor, or, that do not lock their doors at night or leave their car, sometimes leaving the keys in the ignition when they go into a store. And, I came from Metro Detroit.
Yeah. Probably accustomed to it. Yeah.
You don't do that kind of stuff. There was a case in our apartment complex where a lady was taking her groceries out from her car, had the hatchback open. And while she was bringing one set of groceries in, somebody ran and stole her groceries from the back of her car. And, we don't normally worry about stuff like that up here. though there does seem to be a bit of a change. There is also, you know, more, you know, petty crime, more theft, because in I would probably attribute the same thing. If you have a drug problem, you need money, and one way to do that is by stealing. Or
right. No, it is. And getting back to your first point, I get hollered at my wife quite often for that. I still leave my keys and my ignition at home, and it's kind of funny, but it plays true. Yeah, I mean, it's a shame we've gotten to that. You know, it's a shame that you have to lock your doors at night. It's a shame you have to lock all your stuff up. You know, the people up here, we have limited resources. The people up here work hard for their money. They work hard for their stuff. They deserve not to have it being taken from them, being stolen, being taken advantage of. And that's it is directly related to a drug problem. I can guarantee it. So,
what about interacting with the community? Do you see any opportunities that the sheriff's office could, you know, utilize in order to, create more partnerships, to be more visible, anything like that?
Sure, absolutely. And I know we are working on that kind of stuff right now. You know, there are some deputies that get out. They get into the schools right now. We do have some training going on. And like I said, getting back to my junior deputy idea, I want to get as much involvement from the community as possible. I know my time will be limited in the department if given the chance. But I will, you know, reserve some time for this. And I mean, as many parents, you know, come with your ideas. That's, you know, I kind of have the idea. I have what I want to put forth, but I'm sure there's, you know, many more ideas that the public will have. And the door's open. Come on in. So.
And for the staff training, any kind of training that you see that needs to be, that you would like to see given to either deputies or corrections officers?
I think the most, and what is installed right now, you know, the active shooting, we need to keep going with that. Brian has done a good job of getting that going. You know, it's, you see it everywhere else. You don't think it's going to hit here, but until it does, you know, we need to, and hopefully it never does.
It's actually kind of surprising it has never, you know, happened here. I mean, not that every community has that problem, but, you know, we've got two major universities,
right.
a courthouse that doesn't have much security. You know, in most courthouses you go to downstate, you're going through a metal detector. There's armed officers, you know, visible that you may, right. You know, may see. We don't have the resources, I guess, for that, and so there, we don't have those things. And it doesn't take much. Like I had in Marion County just last summer, where, you know, somebody was able to get a weapon from one of the officers there and
sure.
shoot some people.
Yeah. You know, and that's a bigger county. I mean, that's, and they had staff over there. You know, it's you don't want to dig too deep into it, I guess, but we are. It's an unsecure facility up there. It's the courthouse. You know, you hate to say it's an accident waiting to happen, but it's just antiquated. We do not have the resources to staff it as it needs to be staffed. You know, it's, you hate to say it, but it's probably coming. Mm. So it's.
I know the jail is overcrowded.
Yes.
It's one of the odd places that I hear that topic come up is in courtrooms. And I'm not going to suggest that it plays into what people are sentenced, but the topic does come up. You know, the judge, and we'll talk with the prosecutor, is there any room over the jail for this person?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going to stop short of saying perhaps people get let out because there's just no room, but it's got to be a topic at some point when you have people sleeping on mattresses in the hallways.
Yeah. We haven't, you know, the judge has personally asked me a couple times, how are you as far as room? And I mean, if there's petty crimes, yeah, they might prolong it a little bit. We haven't let anybody out, you know, early for overcrowding. I don't see that in the future. But we're overcrowded. I think the last shift I worked yesterday, we had 31 people down there. We can manage about 26, fairly comfortable. But yeah, it's not a good situation. But like I said, that, you know, the taxpayers have spoken, and that's what we have to work with, so we have to figure out a way.
And you're good with that. You've mentioned that you wouldn't be pushing for a new jail.
I will never push for a new jail, no. And I actually have to go speak to a lady Wednesday that we kind of had disagreeing articles in a paper. So, yeah, I mean, I was for it, but I was kind of blinded. It is a big facility that they were pushing, $15 million. It's, you know, a big fancy building. We didn't need that. I guess if we can't get the one we're running right now, right, we don't deserve a big multi, you know, million-dollar facility. So I think we do, for the short time, possibly need a small addition on the jail that would help with the overcrowding, help with the ability to separate certain inmates, but that would be as far as I push for a new jail. If something can be worked out down the road, you know, out of sight, out of mind, at a reasonable cost, and the taxpayers will go for it, fine, but yeah, I'll never push for a new big facility like that, so.
There was discussion just this past Houghton County Board of Commissioners meeting about in the future trying to work in some sort of funding to set aside, you know, for a new jail or improvements to the jail. So it would not require raising taxes. It would be using, you know, just trying to find, you know, the nickels and dimes and setting them aside so that over a period of time something could be funded. Would you, if money could be found that way, would you be supportive?
Yes, I would definitely support that. I don't see it being, you know, there's not enough big chunks or little chunks of money to set aside. I mean, you could set aside $50,000 a year for 20 years, and you're not going to be able to touch, you know, what you need for a new jail. So, I would be for that. So,
okay. We don't normally talk about it, but people always picture the men that are over there. Mm-hmm. I heard through one of the judges, though, that the women's side sometimes gets super crowded, too, because you don't even have much of a facility for women.
No, we don't. We have what they're called cane blocks. There's 1, 2, 3, 4 canes. We have 2 bunks in each cane, so we have pretty much 8 beds set aside for women, and you can ask any corrections officer. I don't care if it's a state level, a county level. I will take 50 men over 5 women any day of the week.
You got to explain that.
Yeah, right. If you think the guys don't get along all the time, the women are. My wife alluded to this. It's always, you know, why are there always, you know, my daughter and her friends, it seems like you give it 3 of them together, there's always conflict. 2 is fine. And I said, you know, when I was growing up, 20 of us hanging out would be great. You know, she goes, no, it's not the same. So there's varying degrees of personalities, and they're a handful.
Do you have any women correction officers?
Oh, we do have 1 part-time right now. Yes, we do. We have had women corrections officers in the past. I don't know if you're familiar with Virginia Dwyer. She did over 20 years, and I give her all the props in the world. You know, it was kind of a running little thing. She had her name inscribed in just about every square inch of the wall in the back of the jail, and she would kind of take it to heart sometimes. I said, Virg, I mean, you're doing your job. Congratulations, you know. They don't like you. They don't like you for a reason. So she was a good one.
Well, you have about 6 weeks left of campaigning for this job before the general election. What will you fill that time with?
Getting out, hitting the streets, getting my message out. Planning on starting in Calumet probably early next week and working my way down. Get the message out and knock on doors.
Have you ever had to go through something like this?
I have not. I told my wife before we started, I don't like watching parades. We did 5 or 6 of them, and the kids had fun, the wife had fun. We had some family join us, too, so it turned out to be fun. But, yeah, I'm not too big on the politics, I guess. Yeah.
What are you hearing from people that are supporting you?
So far, very good. You know, I've had a couple people allude to, what's the pay, what's the pay? And I honestly can't tell you. I've never looked into that. And, you know, thinking about it financially, it might be the dumbest move I've made in a while. I am halfway through my career right now as a corrections officer. I am locked into a good pension. I would be giving that up. And I could be out of a job in 4 years if I don't do what I say and do a good job. So, yeah, financially, it's probably not a very smart move, but, you know, I came back to this area after the 90s, and that's where I want to live, and let's make it as good as possible, I guess. So,
if people want to follow your campaign, have you set up a Facebook page or anything similar to
I
that?
I do have a Facebook page, Derek J. Poynton for Houghton County Sheriff. Go ahead on there, ask me questions. If you want a door-to-door meet and greet, hit me up, let me know. I'd be more than happy to do it, so.
Derek, I appreciate you coming on the program. It's been nice talking to you.
I appreciate you, Rick. Thank you.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.